This is J.D. Reagan, and you are listening to KUAC 89.9 FM and KUAC HD, Fairbanks.
Thanks so much for joining me for today's afternoon concert. You are definitely going to want to stay tuned because Jean-El Soler and composer Emerson Eads are here to talk about the Mass for the Oppressed that Emerson has composed and now has newly released his CD, and world premiere happens here in the KUAC studios. Emerson, thank you so much for being here today and for bringing Jean-El in, too, one of the great singers here from Fairbanks.
Lori, thank you so much for having us. So grateful.
Tell me about the first piece we're going to hear. We will get into the Mass in a bit, but I know that since we have Jean-El here, we're going to feature what you put on the CD from her.
Yeah. This piece is an arrangement of the African-American spiritual. He's got the whole world in his hands. And when I decided to release the CD, I thought this was the perfect piece to go along in tandem with the Mass for the Oppressed, because it both has a sense of positivity and reassurance for the listener, but it also has a sense of pleading and hopefulness that there can be a better future for us all. And so when I decided to partner it with Mass for the Oppressed, I knew I had to call Jean-El and ask her to come and sing it. because we have done so much she's my voice teacher. And she would never let me sing African American spirituals, even though I wanted to. And it's probably best that she kept me from them, to be quite honest. But
we had to get him lined up vocally first before we let him rip.
Well,
disclaimer, Lori,
as a good teacher will. That's right.
But I just knew that she.
Aren't you glad you're here, Jean-El, to stand up for this?
Always.
I knew that she was the one to have come down and sing it, but I didn't think that she would be able to, because she's a full professor here, and I was doing it right in the middle of the school year, and so I called her and asked her, and she was like, "Well, let me look at my schedule," and then I get this call, and she said she was coming and bringing Juliana, her daughter, and
because you did this down at Notre Dame,
yeah, this was recorded in Notre Dame, yeah.
You had to leave Fairbanks UAF in the middle of the school year, in the middle of the semester, and do a quick flyby.
Yeah,
yeah, it really was that. I mean, it was quick. And she just came in, and from the very beginning, I mean, it wasn't like one of those things where you had to work on anything. It was just slam bam, and it was fantastic. But it's not like we expect anything different, because she is Alaska's reigning soprano. So
that's right. That's
anyway.
Right.
Ah, gee.
Well, Jean-El, do you want to say anything before we get to listen to it?
It was a great experience. I mean, it really, really was. And I met an amazing bass baritone. Morja was so much fun to sing with. And as I sat in the rehearsal waiting for my turn to get up and record, he was sitting a couple rows behind me, not making eye contact with anybody. And I kept looking around thinking, not only was I running after my own offspring, but I turned around and I looked at him, and he was just in this zone until we had to get up and sing. And I said, "Oh, do I get to sing with you?" And he said, "Who are you?" "Well, my name is Jean-El Soler." And he said, "Oh, Emerson's teacher." And I said, "Yeah." But right off the bat, I mean, I met an amazing group of people. The choir was fabulous. And the whole experience was a great experience, opportunity, and this amazing form of unity for people to just come in, make music together. It was all about the music. Everybody
and this was done in
there.
The chapel, right? Mm-hmm. That the Mass for the Oppressed was also recorded in with the same choir.
Yep.
Wow. All right. Anything more before we listen to this piece?
Yeah, I want to say something about Amorja too, the bass baritone who sings along. He He's a young colleague of mine at Sacred Music at Notre Dame, and he just graduated with his master's this year, and he's headed for great things. He's got an amazing voice, and yeah. He's also a conductor himself. And I just was so I have to use the word blessed because there's really no other word to explain when people are giving of themselves. When they give passionately to your cause because they believe that this cause is actually bigger than you. And that's what this whole album is about. It's about a greater cause. It's about mercy and it's about justice for all. And I felt like this track, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, really sets a good tone for what this mass is about, what this mass is going to be about. So if you can listen to this arrangement with a sense of, it may feel like the world is out of control at the moment, and listen to it with a sense of pleading for there to be order and a sense of unity and completeness rather than what it seems or how it appears, I think it'll really set you up well for what we're about to hear in the Mass, too.
Well, Emerson, you've done your part in getting this recording together, so we as the listener will do our part.
Thank you, Laurie.
Oh,
Emerson Eads is here, composer, just put out the CD release, Mass for the Oppressed, and that is one of those bonus tracks that you decided to arrange that spiritual for this CD release, and how gorgeous that was. And Jonelle Soler, who was featured on that track, is here with us in the studio. And it's breathtaking what you did there, Jonelle.
Thank you.
And who was the singer with you? You were telling us about
Imorja. Amazing.
Yeah.
Sweet man.
Yeah.
What you heard is his basically his personality. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Just comes booming out with
right.
Such energy. And
but probably one of the most humble people you'd ever meet, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Emerson, that's a different version of that song than I've ever heard. And so you arranged it with this choir that you have and these singers in mind, or did you arrange it and then arrange for the choir to record it and your singers?
Yeah, good question. You're exactly right. Almost every version of that song is quite a bit more peppy. And when I set to it, I think it was probably because of the time that we're in and the things that are on our minds. But it just felt so much like things are not in his hands that I felt like I really couldn't make it a kick up your heels version. And that kind of canonic repetition of he's got the whole world, he's got the whole, that it happens the entire way through it, is kind of an ostinato that's like a pleading ostinato that kind of begs for it to be in his hands because it doesn't seem like it is. When I did the arrangement, I took an earlier version of it that I had been working with and arranged it for orchestra and then for two soloists, for soprano and bass baritone, and the choir. So this the people that are performing this, the Notre Dame Concordia Choir and the Notre Dame Ritornello Orchestra, are some of the most amazing people I've gotten a chance to sing with. They're not only are they excellent musicians, they're also academics.
Yes.
And
so are they both students and professors there at Notre Dame?
There is a professor of mathematics that's a physics, actually.
Of course.
But mostly students. Mm-hmm. And they're all just such a high level of academic requirement.
There's some postdocs in there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah,
right?
There are two priests, that are singing in this. One of them is in my program, in the conducting program there at Notre Dame, and the other one is a professor in the theology department, and he actually wrote on the CD a blurb
for your liner notes.
Yeah, in the liner notes, and the amount of love that you can almost palpably feel in this in this recording. Is I think the thing I'm the most proud of, because this whole project, it has been it was funded by volunteers, and most of them were from Fairbanks.
You did a GoFundMe. Crowdsourcing.
Yeah, I crowdfunded this.
Yeah.
And there was a huge – there was obviously Sacred Music had a huge support in this, as well as some private donors from Notre Dame, but a very large chunk, more than half of the money raised was from Fairbanks, and that made me so happy, because this was the feeling I got when the Mass was premiered initially. Mm-hmm. Was this sense of let's let bygones be bygones, and let's really embrace people for who they are, and let's let mercy reign over judgment. And and it was such a palpable feeling in Davis Hall. I remember when the
four,
when the Fairbanks four were present, And no one knew what the feeling was going to be because here the four had not been really up on the hill here yes. to experience a Davis Hall concert. And they had no...
Because they had been in jail.
Yeah,
because
they've been in jail. And they've spent 18 years in
yes.
prison. So and they went into prison when I was graduating from high school.
Right.
And looking back on that and just musing on that is really more than I can emotionally take. I mean, it's like when you think about boys, really, that should be joining the workforce and joining and starting their careers.
Living their lives.
Yeah. And here they are, go to prison wrongfully
yeah.
And spend 18 years there.
Yeah.
And here I am graduating from high school and, you know, going off to university and starting my life. And then looking back over that time and trying to make sense of that injustice is
yeah.
is it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But
Brian O'Donohue, another professor here,
yeah.
One of Jonnell's colleagues here at the university, mm-hmm. You know, he was instrumental in, you know, bringing this back to light
yeah.
about the Fairbanks Four.
Yeah. Not only that, he was instrumental in helping me kind of put this whole idea into music because I contacted him. Initially when I had the idea and he said, anything you want to use of my text and the Fairbanks Four also, I contacted them and they said, any text you want to use from our diary entries, from anything, you're welcome to use.
They had been in prison. They had been keeping diaries because
letters.
I mean,
yeah. yeah. And anecdotal sure. from evidence from April Monroe, who was also very,
yes.
very instrumental in her support of them. And yeah, I can't speak enough to that sense that the Fairbanks Four that I get from them. And it's not one of bitterness and shaking one's fist, which you would expect under these circumstances. It's actually quite humble, and which makes the punch so much more intense, I think. Anyway,
what a story to bring to light in music and in composition to bring, you know, that emotion that you're describing and that you put to music and words. And yeah, it's a really an incredible work. Should we listen to at least part of it before we move on? And,
sure.
Yeah, okay. Which part?
Let's start with the Kyrie
mm-hmm.
from the very beginning.
You bet. Do you want to describe this a
yeah.
bit before we get started?
I'd love to. Yeah, okay. The opening is well, first of all, I should speak to the soloists that are singing here.
Yeah.
I was very, very fortunate to get all soloists who performed an Opera Fairbanks stage, and I was very lucky to be in contact with them because of Opera Fairbanks. Tess Altaveros is the soprano, Toby Newman is the mezzo, and Barry Banks is the tenor. And the surgeon from Juno, Dr. David Miller.
I love it.
He actually is. The paper, I think, called him the singing surgeon, which is really right.
Yeah.
And he just, I mean, they all absolutely put everything into it. Not only that, but they actually, I gave them an honorarium, of course, to do this project, and they gave it back.
Oh.
So I mean, there's so much love in this recording.
So the singing surgeon, is he the one Alaskan, or are the
yeah.
rest of your soloists Alaskans?
Yeah, good question. So David Miller is Alaskan. He's from Juneau.
Yes.
Tess is from Seattle and sings with Juneau and Opera Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Banks and Toby are married and live in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so. This opens up, the mass opens up with this kind of an introit where the strings kind of try and create this a fabric where you kind of realize the profundity of the topic. And it's It's so it starts off with the choir opening up with this Kyrie Eleison, which is Lord have mercy. And then they open up with the text, is there no help for the widow's son? And that's repeated over and over again. And then
English or in Latin?
In English.
Yes.
In English. And then Barry Banks opens up, which is, I mean, this solo is so written for him. I mean, it was, I was so lucky to have him there. I mean, really, this guy is like on the Metropolitan Opera stage.
Yeah.
He's the Royal Opera. I mean, I did not deserve for him to be there.
Yes, he did. But, yeah.
But he sings this solo. This the opening solo is, the text, I'll read it because it's from my brother, Evan. He wrote the poetry. And it's, they seek my name. I have no other. Shall I be chained? Am I a number? I hold this hope, small as a mustard seed, that truth shall conquer and bound men freed. This is my revenge. I'll dig on my knees in the deep earth until there grow trees. And then it closes back again with the Kyrie Eleison, and then is there no help for the widow's son? So that's how it opens. Wait, one last thing before
let's hear.
One
yes,
last thing.
Of course. I was
after like, yeah. after the premiere mm-hmm. in Fairbanks. Marvin's mother came up to me.
Marvin, one of the Fairbanks
yeah.
Four.
Mm-hmm. And I will never forget those eyes looking at me. And it suddenly made sense what I had written, not really thinking about her perspective,
yeah.
but imagining that. Not only are there innocent people that are victims, mm-hmm. there are people behind those innocent people that are victims. There are mothers, there are fathers, there are brothers, sisters, family that deal with that intense emotion. And when I saw her looking at me, I was like, I was just a puddle. But anyway, that's how it opens. It opens with that Kyrie Eleison, Lord have mercy.
And this is from your debut CD that is The Mass for the Oppressed. And you've got the recording, and we are playing it here first on KUAC.
Yes.
Thanks, Emerson.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in to Afternoon Concert here on KUAC, composer Emerson Eads is here, and he is premiering the CD that is just released this week, I guess. And it's the Mass for the Oppressed, and we just heard the Kyrie. And before this, you read the lyrics, and this is my revenge. But that revenge is flourishing after the oppression. And so it's not the revenge that we think about, a Hollywood revenge.
Right.
And Emerson, that's it's so beautiful. The music going along with the words, it's just, it soars into obvious, it's painful, but then you can feel that, you know, things might be okay already, you know, in the first movement.
Yeah, the text, this text is built around, obviously, the ordinary of the Mass, the Catholic Mass. And what I've done is I've asked my brother Evan to write poetry where I interpolate these little tropes into the Mass, which is...
Okay, so you had this idea about this composition, and then you brought your brother on to do some writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually showed him some diary entries, or not diary entries, but blog entries by April Monroe.
Uh-huh. And she was one of those very instrumental in getting the Fairbanks Four free.
Yeah, very instrumental, and her entries are so moving, and like, I mean, you can't read them without feeling devastated.
Yeah.
So I showed my brother Evan, and he mused on this a while, and then sent me this poetry, and it's the perfect balance between that raging against injustice and also realizing that things are very difficult. They're not easy. Things are not. I mean, how do we suss? I mean, how is justice met out? And these are hard questions, and these are things we have to, you know, live with. But
our human condition is complex.
Yeah, but I think what Evan managed to do in this is really, really beautifully hold together those vying sort of passions and present something that is really impacting and not, and I don't want this to be I don't want people to be offended. I don't want people to be angst. I want people
to just feel weighed down.
I want people to muse about this topic, and I think just the slightest bit of time spent musing about this situation over this music and this text will allow a worldview that is not prevalent, but is healthy. And I think that's what I'm striving for in this.
And you don't have to have been incarcerated for 18 years for a crime you did not commit. You don't have to know somebody personally or have a family member who has experienced that to experience the emotion in the piece that you wrote. And I think that that is something that music and art does so well for humans. It expresses, and it can be something different for everyone who experiences it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that's how it comes across, then I think there is a success here. But I have to say that without the support of the main person I want to thank in terms of galvanizing the support of Fairbanks was Carol Wilbur, who really got on board with this, and to the point where she started the funding campaign for me, and then ended up flying down for the recording premiere at Notre Dame, because she felt the same impetus, that she felt like she had to somehow help and somehow promote this topic.
Jack and Carol Wilbur are such a force for the arts and culture here in Fairbanks and Alaska that it is, you know, we have to thank them quite often. You know, I tried to talk you into doing an Alaska Live here, which Design Alaska and Jack Wilbur, support with their generosity. And I said, can't you sing all the parts and play piano at the same time, Emerson? And that didn't happen. But the fact that we are doing the interview with the release and the world premiere of this CD is something absolutely special. And thank you so much to Carol Wilbur for, you know, being the impetus to the crowdsourcing for that and, you know, believing in you too.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
And this project.
Yep.
What are we hearing next? Because that Kyrie was absolutely a gorgeous intro to the Mass.
Maybe we should listen to the Sanctus.
Okay.
We could skip the Gloria and let people listen to that on their own. Or we can listen to the Gloria. It's up to you. What would you like to do, Lori?
Well, it's only 9 minutes long. I mean, we do need to experience it, right?
Let's do it.
Okay. That's my vote. And so, if you're interested in hearing more of it and being able to hear it on your own time and having a CD of your own, I know that you have a event going on, too.
Yeah. So tomorrow evening... Carol Wilbur has organized an event at Well Street Gallery, and it's from 7 o'clock to 9, and it will be a CD release party, essentially, where I will actually present the video of this whole recording session.
And if you want to make sure that you make it for the video portion, what is that, around 7:30 or 8?
Yeah, I think 7:30 is probably a good time. And then Janelle will be there to sign CDs. I'll be there to sign CDs. The Fairbanks 4 will be represented.
So some of the Fairbanks 4 will be making it?
Two of them that I know of.
Okay, great.
Marvin and George are both have expressed interest in coming. And Patrick, Brian O'Donohue... will be attending as well, and I'm hoping that he'll be willing to read what he wrote for my CD. So that will be at Well Street tomorrow evening, from 7 to 9. And if you're interested in actually purchasing the CD, which all the money for the from the sales of the CD will go towards the Alaska Innocence Project, which was instrumental in gaining the Fairbanks Forest release. You can go to massfortheoppressed.com and get your CD there, or you can go to my website at emersoneeds.com and get it there.
Yeah.
Either way.
Or you can show up at the party tomorrow.
And you can get it in
Wall
person.
Street. Yeah.
Yeah. And well,
and
just
see the video, which is really amazing too.
Yeah. And the opening of the Gloria, I do have to say this because I came very close to omitting the Gloria part of this mass because of the sobriety. Mm. And so Evan fashioned this text, which was exactly what I was thinking.
Your brother,
my brother Evan. Mm-hmm. And it's it opens up with a scene, basically an opera scene, where there's a story in the Bible where Paul and Silas are in prison, and they're in prison wrongfully, you know. So it's perfect.
Yes.
And they instead of clamoring or yelling or even praying, they decide to start singing. And they sing, and the story goes that that an earthquake happened and the whole prison just like the doors opened and they walked out. So I thought this was the perfect. This was the perfect
rubble.
This was the perfect way to kind of present the idea that you can imprison the body, but you can't imprison the mind and the soul. And so it opens with a tenor singing "Sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo," and the bass says, "How can I sing Gloria?" And he says, "Sing in your chains like the sea." And so there's this kind of preamble, this scene before the Gloria starts. And then the Gloria starts and it's this jazzy sort of rumba. And then it's
We are definitely playing this.
And then at the very end of that Gloria chorus, it's as if the walls, fall. And the prisoner realizes that there is freedom within the walls of prison anyway.
Well, let's listen to the Gloria from Mass for the Oppressed. Echoes reverberating from scene 5 and Remember Me from the Gloria, from Mass of the Oppressed. This is KUAC's afternoon concert, and joining me is my guest, composer Emerson Eads. Welcome back to Fairbanks, and thank you so much for coming to Fairbanks and KUAC to debut this recording that you've done of your composition. It's so incredibly moving.
Thank you, Laurie. It's a real honor to do it here. I mean, obviously, the Fairbanks, the message in Fairbanks here is really important, and I feel like the what I've gotten from this town and the beautiful things that I've gotten from this town resonate, and that's what I want to resonate more than anything in this is the beauty and the good.
Fairbanks 4 was at the debut performance of Mass for the Oppressed, and you have a few videos on YouTube, and one of them is so so moving and touching, where, you know, the Fairbanks 4, they've been released from prison after 18 years, and they're at this performance at Davis Concert Hall. And here's the conductor, composer, you, maybe you weren't conducting, you're the, that was Robert Franz conducting, but you're coming down and hugging them, and you're all almost in tears.
Yeah, I was in tears.
It looked like they were too.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Yeah. And the power of that, to have them there to witness the piece that you composed around their story.
Yeah. I remember one of the things that I read, I think that Evan kind of took some ideas from.
Your brother who wrote
the text.
The text.
There's this moment when the tenor sings, "Remember me, my friend. When you're free again, remember me to my children. Remember me." And the bass responds with, "I will remember you," in this very, you know, "Of course I'll remember you. I will remember you." And I remember reading from April Monroe's blog about the one of them talked about how there's this rule in prison when you borrow a cigarette from another prisoner, you have to repay with two. And he likened that to his own experience of going in as an 18-year-old with a 2-year-old daughter. And coming back 18 years later and have a
20-year-old daughter
and have her have a daughter. And instead of this sense of anger and frustration at not being involved in his own children's life, he saw it as a blessing, as a double blessing. He has two daughters now.
Oh.
And anyway, that was, I think, the inspiration for this moment that Evan wrote about that you just heard at the very end of the Gloria. Anyway.
And it's your younger or older brother, Evan?
Six years younger. Yeah, I'm the oldest.
Wow. And so you grew up knowing that he is a good writer, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you see in him that you knew that you were going to approach him to collaborate on this project?
He is probably the most humanitarian of us all. Maybe him and my brother Aaron, who's also a writer. Maybe it's a writer thing.
And you're a writer. You write music and yeah.
But he has a real sense for the underdog. And so when I told him about this project, we would just sit there and cry together, you know, over the phone, because I was at Notre Dame and he was here in Fairbanks. And I, at one point, he said something that was just really beautiful about it. And I said, "Evan, you got to write something." And so he's like, "What do you want?" And that we just hashed it out. And, you know, that's the thing about collaborating with a librettist. You never really know how things are going to be, you know, because there's a difference of opinion. Who wins?
Because the librettist gets to write the lyrics.
Right.
And the composer gets to write the music.
Yeah.
And oh boy.
Yeah. And
those two have to match.
Yeah. There's very few people that write the music first and the librettist writes. Like Andrew Lloyd Webber writes the music first and his librettist writes to it.
Right up there with the powerful ones, aren't you?
Yeah, right, right. But but Evan wrote this text, and this is what, I mean, that's how I write my music, is looking at the text and then going from there. And Evan's text was just so obviously the right fit. But the next section, the credo, which forms the central movement of the mass in general, is usually, "I believe in one God, the Maker Almighty, of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible." And since I'm not Catholic.
I was just going to say, Emerson, are you Catholic? How did you come up
with that? I'm not Catholic, and I don't know necessarily what I believe. So I was a little bit, I felt a little like an imposter setting the text for the credo. So I didn't set it. I was going to skip it altogether, like I was going to skip the glory. And then a friend of mine at Notre Dame, a tenor who sings in the choir and who actually has a solo on the CD later in a different piece, but he showed me a diary entry of Pope Francis's before he was ordained. And this diary entry is just so beautiful. And the text is, I wish to believe, instead of I believe, this like litany of I believes. It's I wish to believe. And the text is, I wish to believe in God the Father who loves me as a son and in Jesus our Lord who fills me with the Holy Spirit so that I may smile and thus carry me to the kingdom of eternal life. And probably the most intense moment for me is this moment that's set for the tenor and mezzo, where he says, I wish to believe in my history, which was infused with the loving gaze of God who crossed my path and invited me to follow. The tenor sings that. And then the mezzo sings, I wish to believe in my pain in which I seek refuge. I wish to believe in death, which burns but smiles and invites me to accept it. And then I just go back to the beginning and recapitulate that last line of so that I may smile, because I love that line. I thought that was such a beautiful because we all
smiling
have
smiling in life and in death.
Yeah, no matter if you're wrongfully accused, if you've spent time in prison, if you've just had a bad day, everyone can connect with that sense of what makes us smile and what makes us really enjoy our lives. And
wow.
And I felt like that was the real message to carry away from the credo. So,
and these are words from Pope Francis.
So this is
the current pope.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a letter from the Vatican.
I was going to ask you if Pope Francis was aware of.
Yeah.
The
actually,
mass
I
that
sent him
written.
A letter with a request to use his text.
Is this something that you would have to do, like a copyright situation?
No, it was in fair use.
Okay.
I did look it up, and okay. It was the diary entry was in fair use, but I did go through the problem of asking him, and I got a response because I sent him a score and a performance of the Fairbanks, the version.
Yeah.
And I got a response from him, and he said that he well, actually, it was not from him.
What?
It was from the Secretary
from the
of State from the Vatican,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Whose last name was Borgia, I might add. He said, I wish to tell you that the Pope is very grateful for your kind thoughts about his words, and he wishes you all the success in the future, and know that you're in his daily prayers. So you can't go wrong with
you cannot
with people like him, you know, praying for you. So
is a CD in the mail to Pope Francis?
CD is in the mail to Pope Francis, exactly.
As we speak. Well, if you're listening, Pope Francis, you will be receiving that in your mail soon, and we hope that you give it a listen, just like we are right now.
Yeah, and the opening of this is sung by David Miller, the singing surgeon from Juno.
Yes.
But he just absolutely blew this out of the water. And you'll hear, it's just, he sings it with such depth. And so proud that an Alaskan mm-hmm. was involved yes. in this recording project. So.
You are listening to KUAC 89.9 FM and KUAC HD Fairbanks, connecting Alaska to the world. And I am here in the studio. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld, and my guest today is composer Emerson Eads. And this is the premiere and debut of your recording of Mass for the Oppressed. And we're going to listen to the Credo.
Credo.
Thank you.
words of a young Pope Francis before he was Pope Francis. I'm here at the KUAC studios with composer Emerson Eads, and he put to music the words of Pope Francis in the Credo there for Mass for the Oppressed. Wow.
Incredible text, isn't it?
I wish to believe versus I believe. It's the questioning of faith versus the blind faith. And to know that the current Pope felt or feels like that is really amazing.
I think it inspires faith when people express, because faith is such a just hard to explain, mm-hmm. right? Hard mm-hmm. to quantify, hard to, and when someone expresses their own vulnerability, I think it makes a stronger statement of faith than anything. So in a lot of ways, the credo means so much more to me because of that vulnerability rather than that stentorian I believe in the Father Almighty, you know, that text.
And so you talked about before we listened to this that you're not Catholic, but you wrote this Mass.
Yeah.
So in the Catholic Mass, the Credo, I'm not Catholic either. I'm mm-hmm. Mennonite, and so we don't have this. But in the Catholic Mass, the Credo, is it more I believe?
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's I believe, I believe, I believe in a long litany of what you believe. And it actually is it's a unifying thing, and it's very powerful to say because it's repeated in community. They say it as one man, and it's very moving. But not being Catholic, I felt like I was maybe creeping a little too close to their turf, and not that anyone of them, they would have been very happy if I would have done it. But
so what? So you use Pope Francis's words instead? I don't know if that's any creeping any closer or any farther away down that path, Emerson.
Well, if it wasn't for Matt Kelly in the tenor section, who showed me this text, I never would have said it. But it seemed like exactly the right thing for this Mass in terms of the amount of. I can't even imagine being in the place of the Fribbings for grappling with faith and grappling with faith and justice at all, like faith and justice, like right. let alone faith in God, faith in a justice system.
Yeah. Because the Fairbanks Four, well, your phone is just blowing up with your fans, I think, for sure. I know.
I'm sorry.
My phone is blowing up with your fans. I am telling you, Emerson, it's really wonderful to have you here back in Fairbanks, where you grew up and where you came to the university, and you got your master's here at
I got
UAF.
My bachelor's and my master's here.
And now you are in your second year at Notre Dame, right?
Yep.
And what program are you in at Notre Dame?
I'm in a Doctor of Music program in choral conducting. So this was my first, second degree recital, and they allowed me to do my own Mass, which was a little
in your second year, no big deal.
Yeah, I was actually really happy they allowed me to
that's
do this,
a huge
and that's the beauty.
Deal.
The beauty of the program there is they really foster individuality. Like there's another conductor in the program who's in a Grammy Award winning jazz pianist, and he's writing his own oratorio in Rome right now, and they're actually flying us over there to sing it. The
I was
going to
say, so you have your colleagues involved in your project, and so you're involved in your colleagues' projects also. How incredibly fun and. That's an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, it really is, and the program is like rich. We have like a traditional like harpsichord players that conduct from the harpsichord, and they're
at Notre Dame. This
unbelievable amount of individuality and creativity in the program, and liberty that allows us to do these kind of projects. And I have to say that that's the the beautiful thing of the program that I'm in.
The Color of Gold was set here in Fairbanks, and it was written while you were here going to school. Again, you write while you're going to school, which is kind of amazing because I'm sure you're very busy, but then you find time to write and compose. So what about being away from Fairbanks still drew you to a Fairbanks story, the Fairbanks Four?
Because my first semester there, at the end of my first semester there, was when I heard that they were released from prison. It was 2015, December 2015. And I, as soon as I heard that, I immediately put up on Facebook, I put up this, you know, banal posting that said something like, yay, the Fairbanks Four are free.
So many people did, of course, because I mean, that's how we express ourselves to
each
other these days.
It is how we express ourselves. Yeah. But then the more I thought about it and the more I started reading, the more I realized how difficult this topic was and how it needed more from me, because I felt this, honestly, a sense of guilt, a sense of what have I been doing with my life since I was 18 years old?
Because that's when they went to prison, you were graduating from high school. And so decades later, you feel this sense of...
Do I have? Should I say anything? Do I have anything to say to this topic? So part of it was just feeling entirely unable to, or feeling completely, I think that's a reason why a lot of us don't speak up with injustice or with issues that are difficult to grapple with, because we don't feel like we have anything really to say.
And what can we say?
And what can we say
that on a
exactly,
Facebook post?
Exactly. But I feel like the another good thing about Fairbanks is this, that sense of community that is so powerful here that I don't feel in every other town. It's special here in Fairbanks. It's
it
a
really
sense
is.
Of if you break down on the road, I'm going to stop by and you know, help you. And it's not everywhere.
Right. And then we figure out we know all each other's friends.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I actually wrote the Agnus Dei first. That was after I heard that they were released, I decided I was going to write something in response. So I wrote the Agnus Dei, the final movement of the Mass, and I wasn't going to write a full Mass. I just was going to write that.
Okay, so that's not something that you took on right away. You
right.
took on writing a piece for this... for the Fairbanks Four and for the emotion that surrounded their release.
Right. Yeah, I wrote it in a really short amount of time, like about a week. It was finished, and I just that was going to be it. And then I showed it to my teacher, my conducting teacher, and she was like, "Emerson, this topic is big. This needs more. You need to say more." And I was
Jonelle,
like,
"Jonelle, is that who you saw?"
No. This is my conducting teacher at Notre Dame.
Oh, in Notre Dame, right?
Carmen Tejas,
and
she's a incredible new music person and very, very talented conductor herself and composer. And she just looked at it and she heard the story and she was like, "Emerson, you gotta put on your big boy pants and write something that has some meaning." And so I did. I took that semester, and she kind of looked over my shoulder at times when I was needing it, and mentored me through it. And I honestly feel like this Mass is probably the most. I think it's the thing I'm the most proud of writing. It's because it has so much of my heart and soul in it. It has so much. Has guilt, has joy, it has faith, it has a lot in it. And anyway, the Sanctus is the next track. But
so many of us can't sit down and write music that goes along with our feeling of, that there's an injustice here, and now, you know, things have come to fruition. So many of us are left with, well, what I did was I posted on Facebook, but listening to this Mass, you can you said all the money that proceeds from this release are for the
Alaska Innocence Project.
Alaska Innocence Project.
This is a really – this whole thing has been a labor of love. Like I said, the crowdfunding, the crowdsource funding thing that Carol Wilbur started, leading to these soloists coming, amazing world-class soloists coming and giving back their honorariums to people at Notre Dame donating who don't even know the story of the Fairbanks Four and hear it and they're like, I'm in. And I think that's the really incredible thing that I'm learning about being at a Catholic university is that real strong sense of social justice that is – and it's – I mean it's palpable because they got behind this story like it was their own story. And I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, you're right. All proceeds from the sale of the CD will benefit the Alaska Innocence Project. And
briefly talk a little bit about the Alaska Innocence Project and how that was instrumental with the Fairbanks Four.
Yeah. So basically, the Innocence Project they only get involved with people that are innocent. They don't mess around with anything. But something that they can get behind and usually has to do with genetic evidence. But there wasn't any for this case. It was a lot of and I don't want to get into the particulars of the story so much just because I but I'm going to let Brian O'Donohue speak to it tomorrow at 7 when at the at Well Street.
You're having a CD release.
I'm having a CD release,
and that's great.
And I want him to present what he wrote for this CD because it's really powerful. And he attended the premiere, and I was so moved by what he. I asked him to put like a little something together. No, actually, I didn't even ask him. I think this was a Facebook post, and this is what writers do, right?
They write.
And then their Facebook posts make us look terrible. But
and Brian O'Donohue, he is an amazing journalist.
Yeah,
and he's teaching young journalists the craft here at University of Alaska
Fairbanks.
Yeah,
and his students were involved in the process
the
of
other
this.
Other amazing part, yeah.
But he said, as a Facebook quotes, he said, "The premiere of Mass for the Oppressed lifted spirits with justice beyond earthly courts."
Wow!
And so I begged him for permission to use it on my CD because I thought, as far as praise quotes go, that's about as good as it gets. And
that's right.
Anyway, if you come to the CD release party, you'll get a chance to hear him speak to the whole issue and. And then, you know, definitely get a chance to see at least Marvin and George and get to interact with them. And
a couple of the Fairbanks
amazing
Four.
People. Yeah. Amazing people. And so tomorrow the release party will be at 7 and it will go till 9 o'clock and
proceeds benefit the Alaska Innocence Project.
Proceed. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's listen to the Sanctus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was soaring there at the end, and it the Sanctus from Mass for the Oppressed from Emerson Eades. Emerson Eades, the composer, is here at the KUAC studios to talk about that very moving piece, the Sanctus.
Yeah, this movement is special to me because it includes a poem by my brother called Echoing King, which, you know, taking kind of the ideas of Martin Luther King Jr. And he sets this text, which is he sent me the picture that he was looking at when he wrote the poem. And this picture is a picture from World War II, and a Japanese little boy is holding his brother on his back, who he doesn't know, but is dead. His brother is dead, and he's bringing his brother to the funeral pyre, and it's just the most outrageous picture. And anyway, the poem that he wrote is: "Darkness can't chase the night, and killing can't dispel hate. An eye for an eye, and spite for spite, and wrong for wrong, until there's no right. What forgiveness is there? What grace? To carry and bury the brave young dead, to mourn and sing and embrace and build the broken place. I have decided to cleave to love. I'll sing to stars and dream past clouds until justice rolls down and truth kisses love." And that really is the heart of this whole, of the message, I think, in this Mass, is that, love is the... is the answer, and justice and mercy have to be working together. And anyway,
yeah, one of those powerful quotes that an eye for an eye makes a whole world blind.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And revenge and hate just blinds us
right.
to, you know, living our lives.
Yep.
And the Fairbanks Four were released from prison after 18 years, and they've chosen not to be blinded by revenge and hate, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think it's a daily process for them.
Yeah.
I imagine that they deal with it up and down in terms of how they're going to respond. But I was just listening to actually one of them calling in to the gavel, Alaska,
to Juneau, to gavel,
to Juneau,
Alaska,
because two of their bills are going before the Senate. One of them is regarding their PFDs being given back to them after 18 years of wrongful incarceration.
Because you don't receive a PFD even if you're incarcerated in Alaska.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's really a pittance. It's a small amount of money in comparison to you know, the injustice. But yeah, I can't help but when I was listening to those the people calling in to represent them and to beg our legislators to do the right thing, I couldn't help but think of this poem by my brother Evan, because it's just such a how can you hear that poem? How can you look at these people in the face and not extend in mercy and extend in grace? And anyway, I think the Sanctus opens up with that real it's just reverent, and it's the English translation of the Sanctus. So rather, you know, Sanctus, Sanctus, it's holy, holy Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And that's how the Sanctus opens. And that's how you would expect it to open, right?
Yeah.
But then there's this poem that happens in with the bass baritone. He comes and sings. And then all of a sudden, this gospel choir comes back behind him and sings, "Until justice rolls down." And there's this sense of, we need people to get on board with this so that justice can roll down. And otherwise, what are we if we don't lend our voice to justice? And what are we? We're complicit.
To be a civil society, we have to have justice rolling down.
Yep.
Yeah. And your response to the Fairbanks Four release was to write, you said at first you just wrote this last movement that we'll hear after this portion of our conversation. But then you were urged to flesh it out into a whole complete mass.
Yeah.
And makes sense that, you know, the folks at Notre Dame would, you know, urge you to do that.
They didn't. That's the funny thing. No, that is actually a really funny point. But I think I said that in an interview with, maybe I said that with an interview with you earlier when Robert Franz was here
last summer.
The premiere. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but yeah, the choice to do a mass, it does sound like they pressured me into it, but not at all. Actually, I think they would have. They would have rather me not do it. But
was it a lot of work on their part?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And to have them not pressure you into it, but to be on board and, you know, lend all the talent that surrounds you there.
Yeah.
Like you said, this whole chorus, this whole orchestra, soloists, the chapel that you did the piece
right.
And the recording is, it was also, you videoed the recording also.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night we'll see the video at
yeah.
Well Street of
totally.
This. And, it's done so well. I mean, there's multiple camera angles and
yeah, you'll see a large array of microphones in the visuals.
And can I ask you how many microphones? Did you count them?
Yeah, you can count them if you look there really closely, but I didn't. But
dozens.
The producer, the producer that, that did this, I said earlier this was all, you know, a labor of love on really every level. The producer that did this, his name Thomas Moore, and his the engineer is Robert Friedrich, and they're both, they have this the company 5-4 Productions, which is Grammy nominated and Grammy and winning numerous awards, one of which was well, they've recorded Zool Bailey numerous times.
Uh-huh. Oh, and he just won a Grammy.
Yeah, and he just won a Grammy.
with their work?
Not with their work.
Okay,
But yeah, they've done numerous recordings with Zool Bailey. And actually, Tom Moore goes to Sitka for their music festival.
Oh, which Zool Bailey is the executive director of that.
So it's really a small world. And actually, what I was going to say was what's so incredible is that when people come together and decide to collaborate in an artistic project, it's impossible to imagine that everyone would be in the same emotional place as I am, as the composer.
Right.
But to see people actually putting their passion into this project because they believe in the overarching meaning and what it has to say. Is heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it's absolutely beautiful, and that's what I was so wanting the Fairbanks Four to be there, so they could see the amount of love, like the chorus. Okay, you know, 25 people in the chorus, another 18 in the orchestra, the whole sound technician band,
all the
people there in the audience,
yeah.
The soloists, everyone there. Putting their heart into this project because they believe in this message is something I think would fuel the Fairbanks Four and give them a little bit of hope that maybe they didn't have before. One last thing I forgot to say about the orchestra. There's the percussionist in the orchestra. His name's Sean Dowgray.
He's just great. It's the camera zooms in on him several
yes.
times.
Yeah. And I asked for it too.
Yeah.
Because I obviously any Alaskan or anybody. So Sean Dowgray, for those of you that don't know that are listening, went to school here at UAF when the percussion studio was under Morris Palter. Uh-huh. And it was, you know, Sean is like probably one of the best percussionists I've ever dealt with. Amazing percussionist.
And he's at Notre Dame now?
No. This is the funny part. He happened to be in Indianapolis for PASIC, for the percussion, the big percussion thing that happens every year.
Their big celebration seminar,
a bunch of percussionists
festival.
Get together.
Yeah.
And he was there in Indianapolis, and I was like, oh my gosh, Sean, can you come down? So like when you're paying union musicians, you have to pay a timpanist. And then you have to pay a percussionist. So ooh. if you have the same guy playing timpani and percussion, you have to pay him double.
Union double.
So I called Sean and I was like, Sean, can you make it up? He took a bus ticket and drove up to Notre Dame.
Took time out of PASIC?
Yeah, and like slept on my couch, you know? And anyway, that's another example of how much love was in this recording. And I'm just so grateful for every bit of sacrifice that went into this project being completed.
Well, the composition just soars, and I almost don't want it to end here, but it is the last movement of the Mass, and it's one of the most beautiful. You said it was the first part you wrote. You wrote the end, but you didn't know it was going to be the end of
this last movement is the one I wrote first, like I said, and it opens with this rising and falling theme that's felt a lot like my emotional here I'm getting very emotional now my emotional response to this whole situation.
So the Fairbanks Four, they went to jail when you were just graduating from high school,
yeah.
And now you've written this, and you're in your postdoc. You're in your PhD
graduate
program.
Yeah, and DMA program. Yeah. But this the opening sighing figure is goes throughout the entire piece and is transmogrified or transformed by the end of it into this really bell sort of joyous bell sort of sound in the piano and yeah, and it opens up with the soprano soloist singing the Agnus Dei, and then she passes it off to the tenor singing the Agnus Dei, and then the whole chorus comes in and they sing on the top of them, and the combined effect is I mean the last line is, you know, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace, and it's yeah, it was the first thing I wrote, so it's the I think it's the most. It's the most honest and it's the most vulnerable of the entire thing. And after it was performed, I remember when Robert Franz conducted the premiere here in Alaska, which I can't even tell you how much I love that man for doing.
Oh.
He's an incredible musician, number one, Maestro Franz, but he did this at the very end, he just let it sit for like, I don't know how long, but it seemed like forever. And it was so right because there's grieving. There's grieving in it and there's joy. But the combined effort is one of real impact.
Well, it is such an honor to have you here and to hear this. Announce it one more time. It's the I don't do the Latin very well.
Yeah, the Agnus Dei, which means Lamb of God. Yeah,
yeah.
And tomorrow we're gonna show the video portion of this so that people can see, you know, the what I'm talking about in terms of this emotional sort of response.
Are you showing the whole video, the whole mass?
We'll show the mass,
okay.
Yeah. But the other thing we'll be doing is there'll be CD signing and you can pick up your recording there. And some of the Fairbanks Four will be there. George and Marvin will be there.
And that's tomorrow night at 7 at Well Street, just off of Phillips Field Road here in town.
And if you want a CD and you can't make it, you can go to massfortheoppressed.com or you can visit my website at emersoneeds.com and there'll be a button there. You can just go right to it. So
and Maestro Composer Eads, your last name is spelled E-A-D-S.
Thank you. Yeah. And you don't have to call me Maestro. Lori, come on.
Come on.
But yeah, it is pronounced Eads and it's E-A-D, EmersonEads.com.
So many people are talk about you conducting every summer the festival choir, and I've heard the bad news that you can't do it this summer.
Yeah, I've heard they're not doing it this summer, but I'm sure there'll be an option for them to sing. And I also think there'll be the Fairbanks Symphony Chorus.
Yes.
If you are at all interested in singing, you should join that because I know my friend Lorna conducts that.
She's wonderful.
And gosh, they just did Brahms Requiem. I'm so sorry I missed that.
Heard great things about it. Well, let's listen to the conclusion of the Mass here.
Fantastic.
Stay. Creed all is there. Agnus Dei.
Emerson, that just, I can feel the emotion welling up in me. And I, when I first watched this and listened to this, when you sent me the link, I was crying at my desk because it's, you really don't have to know anything about the Catholic Mass. You don't have to know anything about Fairbanks 4 to know that this piece is about peace and justice. And, you know, that final release and, yes, the release of Fairbanks 4, but it goes beyond that to, you know, a world of people needing release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, again, I'm just so, I'm so, every time I fly into Fairbanks, I just feel so much emotion because I guess maybe some of it is being in Indiana, which is quite a bit different topography, but
certainly flatter.
Every time I fly into Fairbanks, I just feel this sense of just how vast and how incredibly incapable we are of like holding and describing this environment.
Right.
Like this, and it's so big, and that's kind of what I feel about this. The emotions about this whole topic. And I'm glad I was able to like connect on some level with people because I saw some of them after the premiere. And I don't know that everyone understands or even cares to understand about even the Fairbanks 4, even the music, like you said, the mass, the whatever. But as long as we go away from it with this sense of, we can do something when we lend our voices and speak with love and work in mercy. And I'm just so grateful for people like Joe Scott, who also was one of the main contributors. And
we're so happy to still have her as part of the greater community. But the staff, they moved to New York. But
she's been like my grandmother, I will say. She actually will let me call. She allows me to call her Grandma Jo.
Oh,
because she has been such an inspiration.
She was the director of the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival for so many years.
Yeah, she influenced so many kids and so many young people and old people in the arts. And I'm just...
And she was here for the... UAF, the premiere at Davis Concert Hall.
She was here for that. And I'm again, like I was saying, when you fly into Fairbanks, I just start thinking about all these people that I've connected with. You, Lori, for instance. I mean, you guys here at KUEC have been such a family to me.
When you came in, there was no stopping you to make you wait out in the front office because Emerson, you've been an afternoon concert host for so many years, and you've been a guest on Alaska Live, and you know you're an on-call announcer here, and so you've been such a part of KUAC that it's like, well, of course you're going to wander the halls. Of course you are.
Well, anyway, I'm so grateful for KUAC's interest in playing this and supporting this this message, because I think it's something we as Fairbanksans can all get behind, no matter political side or anything. It's not a politics issue. It's really just a human issue, and I feel like that's what resonates, and yeah. I hope that's what resonates, because at the end of the day, we all need each other. And anyway,
it's one of the things that makes Fairbanks very special. It's the people, and like, well, you know, how do you stand 50 below? Well, it's the people,
right?
You know, it really is the people and the place and how special it is.
Yeah, I have a. It's funny. I want to say one more thing. Sorry.
Yeah?
I have a friend down at Notre Dame who's actually from Alaska.
Oh, huh?
She's in the program. Her name's Victoria. She's from Anchorage. And we both get together and just talk about how much we miss Alaska.
I bet you do.
Because it is such a community, and it's such a, like I said, it's that unexplainable geographical vastness that is somehow indelibly written in the hearts of Alaskans. It's that like we're bigger. We're bigger than politics. We're bigger than, you know, tyranny. We're bigger than these things, and we can really get together and express mercy, and hopefully this mass goes a little bit towards that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you tomorrow at Wells Street. Your CD release event starts at 7, and that's here in town at Wells Street, right up Phillips Field Road, and you can. Proceeds benefit the Alaska Innocence Project, and CDs will be available there. And you can meet, if you've never met Emerson Eads, composer, you can meet him there.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for being here and being a part of Afternoon Concert today here on KUAC.
Thank you, Lori. I'm very grateful.